Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Countdown to kickoff is on. We got a big weekend of college basketball as the season's just flying by. Right now, and it's hard to believe, but we still got a couple of undefeated teams, including the Nebraska Cornhuskers. The Michigan Wolverines take on the Ohio State Buckeyes Friday night. Fox College basketball. The UFC is back on Paramount this weekend. Saturday is the Paramount debut. So there's a lot of stuff to break down. We got Rob Vino in the house, Cam Stewart. Rob, Final Four football, but I want to start off with college basketball, and we do have Michigan and Ohio State on the board tonight. And I don't know if you've been betting the Michigan Wolverine games, but of course they started off by blowing everybody out, winning by 50 points. The odds makers got crazy and started making them like 23 point favorites. And the totals are too high in Michigan games. They're always in the 160s, and the other team doesn't score enough to make the game go over. So I'll ask you, Rob, have you been riding this Michigan under wave that happens? Because basically the Michigan Wolverines, their games have been going under the number a lot for the last couple of weeks, Rob, because the other teams just don't score enough.
Yeah, you know, they're overvalued at this point in time, Gabe. They played a great game the other night and still couldn't cover the number, right? They're plus 22 with 10 minutes left in the game, end up winning by 14, score 86. Should be good enough, but what happened here is, you know, pretty simple. Their non-conference was so dominant that odds makers could not jack that power rating up high enough. And now, slowly but surely, you have to start bringing it down, and they still haven't brought it down enough to meet what conference play does. You know, the last time I was involved in Michigan, I wanted to get involved tonight, but I didn't. It was the Wisconsin game. I had the Michigan team total over 92.5. They lose 91-88 at home. That was their only loss on the season, and they missed so many shots down the stretch. They had opportunity after opportunity. It's not like they were playing bad basketball. They're working the ball around and getting the turning a good shot into a better shot and just missing the shot. Since then, I haven't played any Michigan games. Like I say, the game against Indiana the other night was nice because it was off of that West Coast Pacific Northwest swing where they beat Oregon and Washington. You know, you go on the road, Gabe, and you win two games by double digits and can't cover. It just shows you that the numbers are too big right now on Michigan. So, you know, maybe they cover tonight. Maybe it starts here. But I have to see these odds makers start bringing the number down a little bit. The market certainly pushed this game down somewhat here tonight. Their team total, Michigan, which is where I wanted to go with this, 89.5. You have to get to 90 in these Michigan games to win a bet, and it's just difficult. In fact, as I look now, Gabe, while we talk, it's up to 90.5. So you need 91 out of them tonight.
Yeah, it was 89.5 against Indiana. They got to 86. And as Rob stated, they're playing right, like great basketball, nearly perfect basketball, and it's still not enough to cover the point spread because the numbers are just super inflated. And I follow I watch every Michigan game, so I know the ins and outs of this. And to put in context, Michigan were laying 15.5 points against Indiana. They were up big. They end up winning by 14. The Oregon game, they didn't come close to covering. You know, it was 18.5. They won by 10 on the road. It was back-to-back against Washington and Oregon. The Washington game, we were on the air, and I called it. They were laying 12.5 points, and I said they're going to win by like 10 or 11 points. The number is too high. Lo and behold, Michigan were up by 13. Washington hit a shot at the buzzer, and Washington covered the point spread. And in fact, Michigan are 0-5 against the spread in their last five games. 0-5, despite the fact winning 86-72, 81-71, 74-72. They lost to Wisconsin, as Rob alluded to. And The only thing I didn't like about that game, and Rob Wright, they were kind of the same. Their defense wasn't very good that game. And they took too many threes. And they really did. It's one thing about them. They really did, like, learn their lesson. If you'll notice, since that game, the scoring's been way down. Like, they gave up 91. They haven't given up anything more than 72 since that game. So it's almost like, all right, that was the wake-up call game. We're not as good as we think we are. Wisconsin got us. And I thought Michigan took way too many three-point shots in that game. And they've also gotten away from that and sort of said, all right, let's just sort of, stop getting so cute like an all-star game here. So I will say this about tonight, guys. They haven't covered in five games right now. They are a little bit overinflated. And Ohio State aren't bad. We're talking about a 13-5 basketball team. But I think the Ohio State angle of this could get Michigan there. I don't want to underestimate this one, Rob, that Michigan, if they get up, they might make a conscious effort of trying to blow out the rival. Even though it's kind of weird. In basketball, it's not really Michigan State, the rival. It's Ohio State. It's Michigan State, right? So it's bizarre world, but it still matters, this Michigan-Ohio State stuff. So I think if Michigan gets up on them, they would kind of kill them to send a message to Ohio State that they suck and they're still Ohio State. But big game coming up around the corner, guys. Nebraska and Michigan play on Tuesday. But we'll see if Nebraska can get through. Nebraska have Minnesota coming up, and then they got Michigan. They got Illinois. We're going to find out about how good Nebraska is for real over the next couple of days. But before we get to the football, any college basketball catch your eye tonight or this weekend, Rob, of games you're looking forward to betting?
Well, for tonight, because I didn't take a real serious look at tomorrow yet, but for tonight, I played the Indiana team total over 76.5 against Rutgers, Indiana on the four-game losing streak. But when you go over that four-game losing streak, Gabe, I mean, they played a who's who of Big Ten defenses. Nebraska, good Big Ten, in fact, top upper echelon Big Ten defense. Michigan State the same. Iowa the same. Michigan, you just alluded to how good they're playing defensively. All these defenses in a row lose all four games. Now you get to loosen up a little bit with Rutgers, who does not play defense all that well. Steve Peichel, obviously last year when he had Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper, and now you have to turn the program around and go back to what he used to do, try and play some defense. It's not happening for them. So I think Indiana breaks loose. I thought this number was low. It's interesting with them, Gabe, and I don't want to take up too much time on you guys with this, but Darian DeVries, the head coach of Indiana, right? He came from Drake and he brought his kid with him, Tucker DeVries, who's an excellent perimeter shooter. In those four games specifically that I just mentioned, Nebraska, Michigan State, Iowa, Michigan, he goes into a shooting slump. And I'm saying to myself, this kid is probably just in over his head against this level of defense, power forward defense in this conference. But he's not over his head tonight playing against Rutgers. So I'd expect DeVries to break out. I like Indiana over 76.5 tonight.
And just for the record, last night, a couple of the biggest trends in college basketball, one of them ended up losing by half a point. The Denver Pioneers went into last night at 16-1 to the over on the season. Oddsmakers made it 159.5. They got to 159, 82-77. And Portland State, the number one team, Mercer and Portland State sort of go back and forth, the number one team against the spread of the country. But Portland State got it done by a half a point. So it just sort of goes to show how bang on these oddsmakers are. And Hawaii, which is the number one under team in the country, and we were on last night and we had a million, everybody that came on, guys, everybody talked about Hawaii's 12-4 to the under and all this type of stuff. I knew it was a trap and I stayed away from it, but Hawaii scored 98 points.
Yeah, right. Difference on the under.
And they gave up 71. Total was like 142 or something like that. Like, and it nearly got to 170 points. Like one of those bizarro world type of deals, but very fun college basketball season so far. And we got a full slate of games tomorrow. Bunch of big SEC games tomorrow. All right, so football, Final Four. We're down to the Final Four right now. We've gone over some of these numbers throughout the week. Specifically, specifically underdogs, getting points, getting more than 4.5 points. 4 points has been perfect. 10-0. Underdogs of 4.5 or more points in the playoffs are on a 10-0 run right now. But something interesting I just want to throw out here about Jared Stidham. So Jared Stidham is making his first start of the year. It's not his first ever start, obviously, but it's his first start of the year. So this has happened. This has happened. This is the seventh time that a quarterback will be making his first start of the year. And history is not kind. Only one of them has won before. That's wild. Only one quarterback has won in NFL history, making his first start of the year in a playoff game. And that one quarterback is my boy, Frank Reich. Frank Reich, 1992. The wild card game against the Houston Oilers that the Bills epically came back and won 41-38. Is the only time, and it's happened a couple of times in recent years too. Taylor Heinicke made his debut. Heinicke made his first ever start in a playoff game, lost 31-23. Connor Cook stepped in. Derek Carr got hurt in 2016. Connor Cook made his first ever start. It was his first ever start, actually, but first start of the year. 27-14 loss. Joe Webb, Minnesota Vikings, 2012. I remember that game. They lost 24-10. Gary Danielson. Maybe you remember that one, Rob. 1983, divisional round at San Francisco. You know what's crazy? Danielson actually led them down the field, and it would have been tied this game, but Eddie Murray, former Lions kicker, actually missed the extra point, and the Lions lost 24-23. So the point is, the Lions and the Bills have been suffering for a long time. Like 1983, the Lions missed an extra point in a playoff game. Roger Staubach lost even. So those are the quarterbacks. Roger Staubach, Gary Danielson, Frank Reich, Joe Webb, Connor Cook, Taylor Heinicke, and now we add Jared Stidham to this list. Yet I really legitimately believe, Rob, that Jared Stidham is going to be fine. Are you in the Broncos are screwed club, or you and Jared Stidham is going to be fine club?
You know, the immediate reaction, Gabe, when I heard it after that game, and believe me, I had no clue Bo Nix was hurt on those final few plays, even in a post game with, I think, Tracy Wolfson, I think it was. I didn't realize he was hurt. But then when I heard the news, I'm like, I was in that group. Oh, you know, Denver's screwed. But the more you think about it and take the, the immediate shock out and try and get some rational thought to it, I don't know that they're screwed in this instance with Jared Stidham. He's still got an NFL arm. He does have NFL starting history. In fact, I think it was one of the Wager Talk guys, Gabe, who just went back and took Bo Nix's career to date and put his quarterback rating together since he's been a starter. And Bo Nix grades out as a 91 quarterback rating his time as a Denver Broncos starter. And he went back and did Jared Stidham's, the 2 years where he played predominantly, had enough action to actually warrant a good sample size of quarterback rating. And Stidham graded out as an 88 as a starter. So 91 to 88 doesn't sound like a heck of a lot of separation there. Maybe it won't be so bad. You know, Sean Payton says the playbook doesn't change. Obviously, quarterback runs being incorporated into the game does change. You're not going to run him on purpose, intentionally, the way you would run Bo Nix. However, all that said, Jared Stidham, you know, even back to his college days, he's got some pocket escapability, pocket mobility. He can scramble and make a play. So he's not a statue. We'll see. I think the bigger concern would lie with the Bronco receivers that sit in concussion protocol, limited practice time for Pat Bryant, limited practice time for Franklin. We'll see if they play. If they don't, certainly Denver's limited as far as receivers are concerned. You're down to Cortland Sutton and Marvin Mims, who came through really well in the Buffalo game, and your tight end, Evan Ingram. I feel like Sean Payton's telling the truth here, where it's not going to be one of those games where we just go out and hand off, try and protect our quarterback and play field position. I think he's going to throw the ball around a little bit here against this New England team. So I don't know that they're screwed. I'll say this real quick, Gabe, about the New England side. First thought that came to my mind in this game, and I've heard it a little bit now late in the week, but New England's defense has looked so spectacular, but you can look spectacular against two of the four worst offensive lines in the NFL. And Houston's offensive line was miserable from the get-go, game number one. Even though they tried to put money into it, it was terrible. C.J. Stroud got banged around all season long. And then, of course, Justin Herbert, we all know the story there with the Chargers offensive line. So a team in New England that allowed 141 rushing yards per game in seven of the last eight. And the eighth you can throw away because it was the final game of the season and Miami could care less in that game. So the seven prior, they gave up 141 rushing yards per game. And that comes on the heels of the previous eight where they couldn't stop the pass. So I don't know how great this New England defense is, honestly. I also would say that Drake May has not really performed so great. I mean, he's made clutch plays. I'll give him that. But the Chargers and Texans, basically those defenses, just the damn burst, right? The offense could not help those two teams in any way, shape, or form. And finally, the defenses couldn't hold up any longer. And New England breaks out with a lot of gimme points. I kind of like the underdog here, plus the 4.5, and I wouldn't be surprised if it gets over the number. Denver's still a little bit exploitable on D, and I think Stidham will throw it around. So, but mostly I like Denver here, plus the 4.5 as the home dog.
I agree. It's hard not to like the, at least in my opinion, not to like the points with Sean Payton on a home field. History has not been kind to quarterbacks in this spot. I understand it, but I think I really don't believe there's that much of a drop-off between Jared Stidham and between Bo Nix and Stidham. And I think that Stidham could take off. I was thinking about it from a prop perspective, but they can't get him hurt now. So I imagine, sort of like you said, Rob, I don't think they're going to design runs because they literally can't afford to lose Stidham. So, you know, take off if you have to, but try to protect yourself. But I literally believe that a guy like Sean Payton would not have a backup quarterback. He didn't believe it. Just point blank. Right. And Sean Payton went out of his way. Other teams wanted Jared Stidham. A lot of, like I've been talking about it all week, guys, a lot of very smart football people have liked Jared Stidham over the years. Right. You get drafted by Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels to be the backup for Tom Brady. They clearly thought that, you know what, you had a high football IQ. Josh McDaniels gets a head coaching job. He wanted Jared Stidham to be a starting quarterback, like over Derek Carr. Like, he basically benched Carr for Stidham, right? Like, he wanted Stidham to be his quarterback. Sean Payton gets the job in Denver, is hellbent on getting Jared Stidham on the roster. There's a reason for it, right? There's a reason for it. Like, smart football people believe in Jared Stidham. And, you know, Rob, you and I go back long enough that I love that Seth Russell Baylor team. Too bad Art Briles was a jackass and all that stuff was going on. But remember when they burst on the scene and stuff, and you had the RG3, but remember Seth Russell was just lighting it up. And then Jared Stidham came in, and I was like, whoa, now they've got, like, you can see, like, there's like, whoa, Jared Stidham's actually an NFL prospect type thing. Right. And he went to Auburn after he transferred. He went to Auburn because of the scandal at Baylor. Played pretty well at Auburn. Ended up being a fourth round draft pick. Like, we're not talking about Joe Webb here or Skylar Thompson. No offense to those guys, but they really were that prototypical backup being thrown into something. Jared Stidham was a four-star recruit, guys. He was the sixth ranked quarterback coming out of high school. He lit it up with Baylor. He lit it up with the Auburn Tigers. We're not talking about a guy that has not played in big football games before. We're not talking about a guy that's going to lack confidence. And his team believes in him. So I believe in him. And I think the New England Patriots are good, but I don't think they're five-point favorites on the road good, personally. I will be on the Denver Broncos plus the points, but we're calling it. The Denver Broncos win the game outright, and win the AFC Conference Championship and go to the Super Bowl with Jared Stidham as their quarterback. And as people were talking about online yesterday, can you imagine if Sam Darnold got hurt and somehow it was Drew Lock versus Jared Stidham in the Super Bowl? Cam, what's your pick? Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots?
I'm with you and Vino. I already bet Denver, Gabe, when it was 5.5 down to 4.5. I think they can win this game outright as well. And you brought up a great point. You know what people talk about Stidham, Gabe? They talk about quarterback IQ, football IQ. And some even call him like a quarterback's coach. So, you know, there's a lot of positive vibes out there. And this guy, he also makes some pretty tricky throws. I think Stidham's fine. I agree with you guys 100%. Sean Payton's no fool. He's going to have a game plan for Stidham. And guys, to your point, Vino, I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. This line opened up at 198.5 passing yards, guys. And I bet the over already. I see on FanDuel, it's up to 200.5 passing yards for Jared Stidham. I think he's going to throw the ball a lot more than people anticipate with Denver's a couple banged up receivers, guys. So, yep, three's a crowd, Marenzi. I'm on the Denver Broncos plus the points. Sprinkle on the money line. Stidham over passing yards.
Rob, yeah,
he'll need some receivers. That's for sure. Yeah. And real quick, Gabe, the one thing, you know, I went off on a tangent about how bad the Charger and Texans offensive lines were. What helps Stidham here is Denver has the number one pass protection unit in the NFL. And so it's not like he's behind a paper mache offensive line the way C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert were. They can protect. This is a good offensive line. So that helps when you're a backup quarterback coming in. And, of course, as you mentioned, four-star recruit. He was a Texas quarterback kid, if I remember right. He ripped up the state of Texas. So we'll see. I mean, I think they're in decent shape here. I could honestly make the case that Drake May, he's made big plays, but overall, go through his numbers and go through what he did in those two games, watching those games, he was far from spectacular in those games. So we'll see if New England holds up here. Their first game on the road out of Foxborough now.
I was going to ask you guys, I don't know if you know Oz the Mentalist. So oh, not okay. Not Dr. Oz, but Oz the Mentalist.
Dr. Oz.
And so, yeah, Oz the Mentalist. He's an entertainer, but he's actually freaky. Like, it's one of these deals where it's scary. Like, he should be like a CIA agent or something like that, like, or an FBI profiler or whatever. So he speaks to a lot of football teams. So Oz the Mentalist. Oz the Mentalist is an American mentalist, author, magician. He's best known for major media appearances, performing, whatever. Joe Rogan, America's Got Talent, Hard Knocks, whatever. He's been on every show, 60 Minutes. He's been featured on 60 Minutes. Football coaches love this guy, right? So he comes in and he'll talk to the team and stuff, and he'll blow the team's mind away. So he went on the Pat McAfee show recently, and he basically, his thing is, like, he went on the Joe Rogan show as well, and he got Joe Rogan's bank PIN number. Like, he read, like, he basically said, this is your PIN number, isn't it? And it was, right?
That's
and
amazing.
He did it to the Ron Perlman guy. Ron Perlman appeared on The View and, which Perlman? It wasn't Ron Perlman. It was with Perlman. Anyway, someone said same thing, that they felt violated, that he could get into their mind and stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, he did it to Joe Rogan, too. And Rogan goes, I don't like this, that you can, I don't like it.
You got my pin number.
Perlman appeared on the Joe Rogan Experience. According to Rogan, Perlman correctly guessed the ATM pin of Joe's bank account. Rogan was visibly disturbed and stated, yeah, that's weird. I don't like this. And he did it to McAfee the other day, too. He said, I can tell you what your PIN number is. And Pat was like, no, you can't. And he goes, yeah, I can. And he goes, I'll do it in like within 2 minutes. And he did it like boom, boom, boom. And he wrote it down and he showed Pat. And Pat got freaked out. He goes, don't say this out loud. Please don't say this loud. And he's like, he was all freaked out. Like, how did you do this? And he shared a little bit. But he was like, he said, you're an impatient guy. So your numbers will all be low. And he said, I knew you would start off with a 2 because 1's too obvious. Like, he's kind of like a, I don't know, like he breaks profiler. It down. Yeah, but the thing is, like,
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, just punch him in Oz the Mentalist on YouTube or like NFL. So, like, he went to the Buffalo Bills. Like, he's in the room with all the Buffalo Bills, and he gives Josh Allen a football. And the entire team is there. So there's like 100 people in like the film room type thing. It's like a theater, right? So the entire team is there. And Josh Allen, he gives Josh Allen a football. He gives Josh Allen five footballs. And he goes, throw this ball to anybody you want. Just throw it anywhere in the room. Anywhere in the room. Josh Allen throws five footballs. He shows. He takes out his cards and he shows the five people that he was going to throw it to. And he was right. Stuff like that. Lord. Yeah, so it freaks people out. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, Nick Saban loved this guy and he used to bring him before big games for Alabama and stuff. And kind of anything is possible. If he can read your mind, we can do this. Like, NFL teams freaking love the guy. Where I'm going with this is, before the season started, he visited the Los Angeles Rams. Did all the same crap he does with everybody. Guess Stafford's PIN number. Read Stafford's mind and all this, and then told them, oh, yeah, by the way, you guys are going to like this. You win the Super Bowl this year, 24-13 against the Denver Broncos.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
No, and here we are, Cam. The Denver Broncos are still playing in the Rams.
Why did he go to visit the Seahawks? Thanks, Oz.
Well, he visited everybody. He just didn't have the vision.
He just likes the Rams.
No, but he even called a score. He told the Rams.
So we got the
you
under.
Guys will win the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos this year, 24-13. Here
Rams
we are.
Rams and the under. Yeah, this guy sounds like he's got things under control, Rancy.
Yeah, so we've got the power. We got the power of Oz the Mentalist versus the power of the Pope. Because, of course, every time the Pope, there's a new Pope elected, the Seahawks go to the Super Bowl. So something's got to give. We've got Oz the Mentalist versus the Pope. It's pretty wild, actually, this Pope thing. And we're not kidding about it. Every time, 2005, new Pope elected, Seahawks go to the Super Bowl. 2013, new Pope elected, Seahawks go to the Super Bowl. 2025, new Pope elected. Will the Seahawks go to the Super Bowl? I ask you, Rob, before we get you out of here, are the Seahawks going to the Super Bowl? Or is Oz the Mentalist going to be right and the Rams are going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, maybe I should just wait to see who Mattress Mack is on in this game and break the tie, and then I can go that
way. Yeah, well, we'll fade him. fade
the Mattress Mack. We'll just go the other way. You know, I like Seattle in this game, guys, for no other reason than it's under a field goal. You know, they played twice. We've got all the history, right? And the history of this season doesn't tell us anything except that they're separated by 1 yard and 1 point. Seattle, total yardage destruction. The first game of the Rams, Rams bounced back, total destruction of Seattle in the second game. I'll say this. I didn't like what I saw out of the Rams' failure to adjust to that. You know, the Bears line up in that blitz off the left corner like 15 times, and every single time they're in Matthew Stafford's face, and he looked a little bit intimidated about halfway through. He's throwing balls all over the lot. I get there was bad weather. There was some wind. I think that Sean McVay's too smart. You go back to the tape, you probably fix that. Seattle obviously looks at that tape and says, let's try and do this. There's not a lot that either team has seen here, Gabe. I feel like Seattle with the home field is probably the way to go. Charles Cross, I'm hoping that he's been limited in practice, the left tackle for the Seahawks, simply out of precautionary reasons because they need him to play on Sunday. I'm not too worried about Darnold. We remember the last game, right, where Charbonnet looks like he's wandering around a park and picks up a football, and it's a two-point conversion. Everything had to go right. But this Rashid Shaheed presence for Seattle has been huge. You don't have Zach Charbonnet, but Kenneth Walker looked very fine being the lead running back the other day. I'm more excited about playing over in that contest. And this is interesting. A guy that you have on the show a lot too, Gabe, fellow Canadian, Ian Cameron. I was on with him yesterday. And he said, Rob, I've done five shows this week on these two games. And you're the only guy that's come in here that wants to play over 46.5 in this game. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm doing something right then if I'm the only one. But to me, Gabe, 46.5, now that they bet it down that low, deserves to be played. The offense has been tremendous in both games so far this season. In fact, Seattle has a chance to win that first game on a 61-yard attempt by Myers at the end, even though Darnold screwed it up a little bit. Second game, obviously, 800, 900 yards, et cetera. You know, the Rams got over 550 yards offense in that game. If we think back with only Puka Nacua, Davante Adams didn't even play in that game. Seahawks knew where the ball was going. They just couldn't stop it. I think it was 12 catches on 16 targets. I do think the weather conditions help here. I'm going to say what I said about Josh Allen last week and the Bills, that Matthew Stafford's going to get his, no matter who it's against. I understand last week they didn't. I think the circumstances, weather had a little bit to do with it and the fact that the Rams didn't adjust, but I don't see that happening again. And I think Seattle can match. I would say if you look at the four units on the field, offense, defense, still the worst unit on the field is the Ram defense. They only gave up 17 last week, but it's not because they were so great. A lot of it was Ben Johnson choices to try and turn points into zeros, which he did a couple of times by going for things. I don't know that Mike McDonald plays it that way. So I'm going to be on over 46 and a half first and foremost. And I think the Seahawks win the game.
Great breakdown, Rob. Excellent. I've been bringing it up quite often, actually, throughout the week. If you look at the Los Angeles Rams in the playoffs this year, both the games that they played had really adverse conditions, right? Heavy rains and heavy winds in the Carolina game. They still got into the 30s. Brutal cold in Chicago. And the Ram players were, the Rams are very happy about being back in Seattle right now, right? It's a, you know, a stadium they're used to, a weather sort of that they're used to. It's actually very, very nice on the Pacific Northwest this week. It's not even going to be raining on Sunday. It's going to be plus weather, so it's not going to be freezing. It's going to be a nice temperature. I'm worried for the Seahawks. Cam, what's your pick for the Seahawk and the Ram game? Because, and also, what one thing, you brought up Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker's really good, but he's the type of running back that comes out of the game a lot. Like, he's not, he gets dinged up as these games go on. I think the loss of Charbonnet could hurt more than people are letting on. And they really don't have anybody. Like, if you look at the Seahawks depth chart, guys, they're out of running backs. Like, literally and figuratively. Like, if Kenneth Walker goes down, they're done. Like, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Like, like Sam Darnold will have to, like, you know, there's going to have to be a lot of quick hit type of stuff. I like what you said, Rob, about Shaheed. You can get Shaheed in here, sort of, you know, a couple of reverses and controlled running. But as far as depth is concerned, they really don't have anybody. Like, the two backups after Charbonnet are both injured. Literally, they're on injured reserve. Like, they're hurt.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
They signed Cam Akers to the practice roster, but it looks like it's going to be Velus Jones Jr. And it's so obscure, they don't even have a prop for him. But I'm just throwing it out there, guys. If they do, you know, Velus Jones Jr. might get a touch or two because he's actually going to be the backup running back, Cam, in this game.
Yeah, they're talking about George Helani. I know he's on IR. He might be able to go. Here's the thing, Gabe. Great point with Shaheed. His running total, his rushing guys, is 0.5 yards. I would take a look at last week. He had 27 yards in the win against San Francisco. For them, they're going to have to do some
different things.
4.5
at Bet365.
Wow, 4.5. I got it at 0.5, Gabe. So I guess people are listening because they're like, whoa, what's going to happen with the Seattle running back situation? I still like over 4.5. As I said, 27 last week. He's going to get some end arounds. He's going to get some trick plays. He'll be a big part of this thing. You saw how dynamic he is kick returning. They're talking about Abdullah as well. They don't know. You're absolutely correct. They got a real problem after Walker. Walker, his receiving prop, 22.5 over. They're going to have to use the Rams' pursuit against them. Rob, I'm glad you're on Seattle because a lot of people I respect in this business, nobody likes Seattle this week. I'm scared of the Rams third time. Every game has been close with these guys. We needed a miracle to beat them last time. But I'm going to take Seattle, and I agree with you guys. I think the over, the total might be a little bit too light. Playing the Rams on a teaser would make sense because I don't think there's going to be a blowout here, guys. But I'm taking Seattle, and I like the Shaheed props and Walker over 22.5 receiving as well.
I can't help but think, Rob, of the Seattle Mariners making it to the conference championship game and the Seattle falling short once again.
That would suck.
And a team from LA winning once again the championship as well. Like, These things always sort of happen in pairs. I was talking about it like Miami. Look at the Miami. Look at Miami, bro. The Florida Panthers have won two straight Stanley Cups, been to three straight Stanley Cups. Inter Miami just won the MLS Cup, and the Miami Hurricanes made it to the championship game. It's amazing, like, how these cities just sort of, it goes in blocks, like how these teams are successful. But I just have a weird feeling it's going to end poorly for Seattle. Rams are just that team that find ways, you know?
Yeah, and when you're separated after two games, Gabe, like I say, 1 yard, 1 point. I mean, it's a toss-up game. Cam, real quick, I would have said it if you didn't, but everything I read this weekend, and we don't have full confirmation yet, but it seemed to me like all McDonald's quotes were reading between the lines, like, Helani's going to play.
Yes,
Helani was really good to start the season, the kid from Boise State. So we'll see if he goes or not. And last thing I'll say about the total, Gabe, is that if you're Seattle, and again, this is me trying to play head coach from a desk in southeastern Pennsylvania, but you don't go into that game saying we're going to win with 20 points. You have to go out and score. They know it because the Rams are going to get theirs. And to me, this betting market has allowed us to cash on key numbers now, 47 being the first. They gave us 48 as well to begin with. So I have to be on over in this game.
Rob Vino, wagertalk.com. Rob Vino Sports. Great stuff as always, Rob. Baseball around the corner. World Baseball Classic around the corner as well. So I look forward to talking some baseball with you. Thanks for the time, Rob.
Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Rob Vino with us. I didn't even get to the NBA, actually, with Rob. And fun game tonight in the National Basketball Association. The Toronto Raptors West Coast swing continues. And the Raptors are in the Pacific Northwest tonight to take on the Portland Trail Blazers. Blazers got it done last night. We went big on the Blazers last night to beat the Miami Heat. They did. The Blazers are now 11-3 in their last 14 basketball games. An incredible story, the Portland Trail Blazers, and a dangerous team. Like, they really are starting to string it together. If they could start to win on the road a bit more, the Blazers are really going to play themselves into this playoff conversation, as they've been racking up the wins. Like I said, 11-3 in the last 14 games. Seattle Splitter's done a great job, and the Raptors actually have done a great job as well. They lost to the Clippers. They lost to the Lakers. You know, be like, all right, the wheels are falling off a little bit here on the road trip. But they bounced back with, like, back-to-back wins, which was big time. They beat Golden State and they beat Sacramento in back-to-back games, back-to-back nights. And a lot of NBA teams don't win the back-to-back. So now it's Portland's turn into back-to-back tonight. But Portland are playing at home. And they played at home last night. So it's back-to-back home games. The Raptors have been in Portland since yesterday. They left right away, so they've been in Portland since yesterday. And our boy Jack Armstrong is going to be recovering. I don't know if there's anybody, any analyst on any, like, team that'll admit to drinking as much as Jack Armstrong does. And, like, Jack will, like, actually openly complain. Sort of like I have. Like, I can't drink, so I got a show later. Like, whatever. Like, he'll do it on the air. Like, an NBA analyst. So he'll be like, so, Jack, are you enjoying L.A.? Well, not as much as I'd like to, because, you know, we got this. And, like, and then he basically just says, you know, I can't wait to have a nice ice-cold drink and a couple of beers. Like, you know. So the other night against Sacramento was the end of the game. And, like, they're like, well, Jack, you know, we're off to Portland. And he goes, it's just great. He goes, even better. We're off for a couple of days. And Devlin goes, plenty of cold ones for you, huh? And he goes, heaven on earth. He goes, I'm going to get so drunk. He started talking like, it's like, dude, like, you're a blatant alcoholic. And you just admit it, like, all the time during these basketball games. He talked, though. He goes, you know, I don't even know this. My daughter and her husband live here in Portland. So he goes, a lot of family, a lot of drinks. I'll see you Friday at the Blazer game.
Amazing.
Jack just lit up in an Irish pub somewhere yesterday in Portland.
He's like a legendary fixture at the Irish Embassy. He talks about it all the time. Even when I work I remember I did some editing and stuff when he worked at Sportsnet. He's like, let's go for a Guinness. Like, he took everyone out. He's just crushing Guinness. I love that, man. He's amazing.
He's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy.
Like, yeah, he likes to party.
He's got, like, not as much as Harry Neal did. Harry Neal and Joe Bowen. Harry Neal, I was in an elevator with Harry Neal. I looked. I was like, I've never seen a nose like this in my life. I was like, wow.
The cherry blossom.
The vessels were about to pop off his face. Like,
yeah.
Even I was like, dude, man, you should drink some water or something. All right, we got Mick Aussie. We got Mick Aussie in the house. Denver Bronco fan.
Bob Bronco.
And Mick, there's a lot of belief in the Broncos in the betting community. The general public all think the Patriots are going to win and backup quarterback and all that type of stuff. But smart people that bet on football like the points aspect of it. And people that have actually watched Jared Stidham play football before know that he's a good quarterback and he can be a good quarterback. How do you feel, Mick? What are your picks for the games this weekend?
Oh, mate, well, I was very disappointed Saturday night. I don't know why Sean Payton didn't break the news on Sunday and let all us Broncos fans celebrate the night. But Stidham, yes, well, you made me happy on Monday because I heard you pick them outright to win. I will take the Broncos on the plus 4.5. And let's hope Stidham, who's had four starts, let's hope he plays as well as he did in his college career, beating Georgia and Alabama. So I've read up about him. But, mate, there's a fine line between getting that pass right to the receiver and being an interception. So I hope he starts well, but to play the full game very well, I'm not as confident as you.
Thing with Stidham is, listen, I'm not saying he's Joe Montana or John Elway, but I do believe Sean Payton when he said, we're not changing our offense, right? And listen, Sean Payton's never going to tell you the truth. He's gonna have something up his sleeve, but I did believe him in the sense that they're not like, oh, he can't do this or he can't do that. No. And Mick, you're a Bronco fan, and anybody that followed the Broncos coming into this year, if you remember, Bo Nix didn't have a good training camp and preseason. And a lot of people were like, you know what? Jared Stidham is better than he is. And Jared Stidham looks like he's better, but Bo Nix is the draft pick type of deal. So I'm just stating that it's not a case of like, okay, listen, we're screwed. We got Skylar Thompson here. We got to coach this guy up, but we got to figure out a way, like, just to sort of try to get the kid through the game. No. Like, Jared Stidham runs the offense. He can run the playbook. The only thing they lose to me is
mobility.
Is not the mobility, because Jared Stidham, Bo is a good runner. I mean, obviously, Bo is a great runner. Jared Stidham was a dual threat quarterback too. He could take off, but they lose the fact a little bit of the mobile, the scrambling yards, because Sean Payton's going to tell Jared Stidham, we can't lose you now. Like, you know what I mean? They can't lose him as well. So like, they're not going to run some bootleg where Jared Stidham gets lit the F up like on the first, like in the first quarter. Oh yeah, we're going to run your scramble bootleg here for you. He gets hurt, they're done, right? Like, Sean Payton can't overcome that. So, like, I think they'll tell him, just get rid of the ball. Don't do anything stupid because we can't let you get hurt now. But, and that's another one, Mick. I believe in your guy. Listen, Sean Payton might not win Friendliest Man Award of the Year ever in his lifetime. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that he's going to have a couple of tricks up his sleeve. And people are going to be like, I cannot believe they just did a flea flicker 60-yard bomb pass for a touchdown. Sean Payton loves this stuff, Mick. He won the Super Bowl by going for an onside kick in the second half that nobody thought he was going to do. I guarantee you Sean Payton's going to have a couple of tricks up his sleeve and trick plays, aggressive play calls that people will not expect. Except, you know, Vrabel's smart, so he'll expect it. But I'm calling it. I say the Broncos are going to win the game outright, Mick, but then you're going to lose in the Super Bowl. Sorry, I can only give you so much. what's your pick, Mick, for the Rams and the Seahawks?
Oh, look, Cam, Seahawks, they're just going along so well. I think the Seahawks will win, but I think it's going to be close. But Darnold, he hasn't played that well against the Rams. Interceptions here and there in the last two games, six interceptions, so he is a key. But they're just on fire. They are the informed team, and 50% of people pick them to win the Super Bowl like you just did. But going back to the Broncos, mate, Sean Payton was very confident early in the season, and he has done very well when he was at the Saints with backup quarterbacks. And I got some of this news about him being so confident. Dubsy's in the know. Can you believe that? My Aussie mate's right in the know with the Broncos, as you know what I'm talking about. But let's hope it's a great game. So, yes, Broncos to cover, Seahawks to win and cover as well. But looking forward to both games, should be absolutely beauties, especially those wide receivers on both the Rams and the Seahawks teams. There's some beauties. Talk about wide receivers. Maybe Stephon Diggs might want to buy a packet of condoms, mate. That's unbelievable what he's done. The guy from the Patriots, one of your former boys. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. He's had four kids with four different women in 1 year.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I don't understand like why he does this.
I don't either.
Because it's gonna cost them a lot of money down the road.
Yes.
Like ask Evander Holyfield about that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's funny you bring up our boy Dubsy. So think about that, Mick. Like if they win, like if the let's just say the Broncos like won the Super Bowl, Dubsy would be in like the locker room and stuff after Mick.
Oh.
If you know what I mean? Like he's not in now. Like he's not in. It's pretty crazy. He's not in.
I'd be so jealous if I was younger, but I'm older now, so good on him.
Like he could be on the float in the Super Bowl parade and all that. Like, you know what I mean? Like...
Float in the Super Bowl.
Oh, good on him. But he was married, so I think he left him for her. So, wow, there's some interesting stuff going on.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, you know, like for people unaware, too, Megan Payton that used to be she was on the score. She's been on a bunch of networks, but she was on with us on Sports Grid here.
Nice girl.
And then she went to, she was on Wager too. She was around. Yeah. She was on a bunch of media outlets. Finally settled in at FanDuel. So she became a FanDuel host out of Los Angeles. And our boy Dubsy, of course, used to be at Sports Grid in LA. Dubsy ended up as a FanDuel guy doing like horse racing and stuff. So long story short, they got married. And our boy Dubsy now. Yeah. I should send Dubsy a message right now. What can you tell me, Dubsy? Any inside information?
You got anything, Dubsy?
Well, he did last week when I was meant to come on. He sent me the couple of scoops. Yeah. Unreal. Amazing. Eh? Good on him.
Yeah. No, he's, you know, happy and good for him. You know, whatever, you know, good. Congratulations to both of them. She's good on TV. One thing with Megan, she knows football. Like, you know, not a shock. You're Sean Payton's daughter, but she knows, like, the league and stuff like that. She has some pretty good stories about, like, you know, because she's seen a lot of things behind the scenes. But, yeah, so now Dubsy's a Bronco guy. That's funny. I was just looking for Dubsy's quote. He was ripping the golf tournament yesterday. He said,
hell, golf tournament sucks. I'm with Dubsy. It's a train wreck.
He just said it was boring, guys. Yeah. He goes, yeah, it sucks. Everyone's going to be on 30 under. Who cares? Yep. Give me real golf.
Yep.
But, all right, wow. Mick.
Two Aussies, Gabe. Aussie and Dubsy, and they're both Broncos. Interesting. The Aussie-Bronco combination. Weird.
I think he's only a Bronco now, though, isn't he? Well, I think
yeah,
he
but you're
Rams
a Bronco.
Before.
And I'm just saying, both Aussies, both Broncos. That's all. Yeah, it's kind of different.
All right, Mick, so your prediction to play in the Super Bowl and when it's all said and done is going to be Seattle as a Seattle and Denver rematch then?
Well, no, I'm picking the Pats. Patriots. Broncos to cover, but I damn well, of course, I hope you're right. I just can't get onto a backup quarterback for the whole game like you do. So, yes, let's hope you're right. Broncos Seahawks would be amazing. And 10 years ago, we beat the Patriots in this game, 20-18. Patriots are 0-3 in playoffs at Denver. So let's hope
0-4, Mick.
0-4.
The Patriots have never won a playoff game in Denver.
Wow. It's going to be 0-5 then. Let's hope so. And then Wow, 10 years ago we won the Super Bowl. So it's been a tough 10 years, but we're ahead of ourselves, and good on Sean Payton. You've got to admire him as a coach, absolutely. And Pat Bryant, concussion last week, full practice yesterday, receiver. So that's good news.
And this is wild, too. There's only been 10 games. I'm surprised about this. There's only been 10 games in the last 50 years in which the road team was favored by more than 4 points in a playoff game. They're 0-10 against the spread. 0-10 against the spread. So the Patriots are in this spot. And for the record, the team that has been favored by 4.5, by 4 or more points, has actually lost the game 6 times.
Ooh.
So, you know, 6 times. So, yeah, from a betting perspective, Broncos, you know, if you believe in trends, the history is on the Broncos side. I personally think a good way to go here is a 7-point teaser with the Denver Broncos bet up to +11.5 and the Los Angeles Rams bet up to +9.5. I think both these games will be close. I'd be surprised if either one of them turns in. Seattle's not blowing the Rams out like they did San Francisco. That's just not happening, right? San Francisco played the week before, was whatever. They didn't have any players. They finally caught up to them, and they play next to a nuclear power plant that evidently is not, well, good for them. And so you got that deal. The Rams are not getting murdered by Seattle. Like, so no, that's going to be a close game. And then I think your Denver Broncos, they might lose, like you said, maybe by a field goal or something. But I really believe in Sean Payton. I really think Sean Payton will have enough up his sleeve to pull this out. But we'll catch up, Mick, down the road, especially if you're Broncos. We'll see. I'm going to be in San Francisco, so maybe I'll be there for the Bronco Super Bowl run. We'll see what happens, Mick.
Oh, Broncos, Seahawks, and if that is the Super Bowl, it better not be the same as last time we played them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, make it the same.
All right, good talking to you guys.
Later, Mick.
Cam,
thanks,
have a
Mick.
Great weekend, guys.
You too, see buddy. You go Broncos.
All right, so another big game tonight, and especially in Toronto, is Mitch Marner and the Las Vegas Golden Knights play against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it's finally here. They played last week in Vegas. It's kind of strange the way that it's worked out this way. And I remember I talked about this when the schedule came out because Maple Leaf fans were upset the game wasn't on a Saturday night. And I remember I said, the world doesn't revolve around like Mitch Marner's trade. Like the schedule, the game's on a Friday night. The game's on a Friday night. It is what it is. So one thing I'll say, this might be the only time Leaf fans ever actually make any effing noise because they're going to cry and bitch about Mitch Marner, a player that they wanted to get rid of. So I just love the hypocrisy of this. And I say this, I've lived in a lot of different cities, and I'll tell you what, there's not one city that hangs on and hates a player for leaving as much as the city of Toronto does. Like, they don't let this stuff go, man. Like, they're over-the-top petty with it and stuff. Bo Bichette's going to find that out when he plays in Toronto, when he returns as a New York Met, Kawhi Leonard, et cetera. I can go on and on, man. Marcus Camby, Vince Carter, like, hockey player, like, whatever. It always gets ugly. And all you need to know here, I'm looking right now, let's see, $800. Let's see. All right, now, so $300. All right. It's not too crazy, actually. I thought, you know what? The ticket prices might be a little bit higher tonight. So Mitch Marner's back in Toronto, and let the crying and the booing begin. This is just going to be one solid big boo fest. The Leafs lost to the Detroit Red Wings in overtime the other night, Cam. Now they have another sort of big type of game. They don't win these games. Like, anytime there's a gut check game, the Leafs lose. It was a gut check game against the Red Wings, they lost. Well, we played well, whatever, dude, you lost. Like, they were beating them in Vegas. They ended up blowing the lead, Cam. They lost.
Seconds left. Yeah, I know. It was ridiculous. Like, they had 5-4, they scored seconds left, and then they lose.
So who do you like tonight in this
game? I'll take
the
Leafs. By the way, the reason these tickets aren't there, it's like -26 with snowstorms and stuff like that. A lot of people aren't just not going to go to the game. It would have been more money, I would assume. But yeah, that Detroit game, you talked about it. Breakdown in overtime. Detroit gets it done. Kudos to the Red Wings. But I think they show up tonight. wish Mitch Marner never left, Gabe, but he's probably very, very happy in Las Vegas not having to deal with the Toronto media who covers the Leafs. But I think the Leafs will win. Probably lots of goals in this game, too. Every time Toronto and Vegas get together, usually a lot of goals.
Why do you think the Leafs will win, though?
I just think they're good. It's you talk about gut check time. I do think it's gut check time. I think the big boys on their team show up. I think they want to win when Marner comes into their building. I think they get it done. Wasn't a great game against Detroit, but you know what? They played decent. They're playing a lot better hockey right now. They're the home team. I'll take them. They're plus 106. I think they win this game.
I'm looking back. I'm thinking about last night, and I like the Boston Bruins against Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I left it on the table. I know it was whatever. What was going on last night? It was a big call.
Basketball.
I don't know. I was focused on NBA or whatever. I think that was it. I had a bunch of NBA games, NBA props. But I sort of liked that game, and I didn't end up taking it, but I should have known that it was sort of a little bit of a look ahead for Vegas. Like, even though it's just Mitch Marner, everyone on Vegas knows kind of like, yeah, this is a big game on Friday in Toronto. The crowd's going to be insane. We saw what it was like. Hell, it was insane. Like, Leaf fan took over the Vegas game last week in Vegas. So now it's just going to be compounded tonight. For the record, Marner is plus 200 to score a goal. I'm going to have to take it just for the sentimental sake of it. Although he's not a pure goal scorer, Mitch Marner. So, you know, you can sort of look at points as well with him, but it's going to be 1.5. You know, you kind of got to say, all right, maybe, you know, he gets an assist type of deal, you know. All right, shots on goal, his prop is 2.5 tonight. Let's see, points, over under, Mitch Marner points this evening. Mitch Marner, yeah.
Lots.
They make it 1.5.
Exactly.
Well, if it was 0.5, it would be massive money. So it's 1.5, but it's plus 185 to the over. I would say yes. I'll roll the dice with that. It's the plus money. I'll roll the dice that Mitch Marner, two points or more, plus 185. Let me see what the assist is, actually. So him to get an assist. You know, you can sort of go across the board here. Mitch Marner to get one assist is minus 150.
I like that bet.
I just sort of like the aspect of the plus money of getting, though, plus 200 for a goal, plus 185 for 2 points. If this game opens up a bit, he can rack up a couple of points. Or it could backfire, and he could be super nervous, and he could suck tonight, right? And then you get the Austin Matthews angle, too. Matthews would like to score in this game tonight to prove that, oh, I don't need, you know, Mitch Marner to set me up. But he's only plus 100 to score a goal. So, for the record, last night, if you guys tuned in, you tuned into the show, and I even posted it on X, although I posted it, I think, right after the game started. But I don't often do it, but I did a three-prop same-game parlay, Cam, and it was a weird one. I took Dylan Cousins over 1.5 shots on goal.
Nice.
Tim Stützle over 1.5 shots on goal. And Steven Stamkos over 0.5 shots on goal. Same game parlay, plus 145. And it ended up hitting. And Stützle like got the last shot on goal late. I thought it was gonna lose because of Stützle. But we talked about it last night on the TV show. It's pretty wild. Like Dylan Cousins now has two or more shots on goal, guys, in 13 of the Sens' last 16 games. Steven Stamkos has at least one shot on goal in 25 straight games right now. Like I said, now that the football season is done and stuff, I'm starting to dive more back into the hockey props and get on top of who's hot and who's not in the hockey prop world. So we'll have some props for you tonight. And in fact, I got a $125 bonus bet 365 tonight.
Nice.
NHL game.
Parlay time.
Bet 125 on the NHL, and if the game loses, you get the money back. You get $125 free play. I got it wrong last night. I took the Canadiens against the Sabres last night.
I got to be honest with you, Gabe. The Canadiens used to own the Sabres, but now the last two times, this Sabre team, it's unreal now. Like, it's getting to a point where they went in and beat Nashville on the road, go back into Montreal, a very tough place to play, and win again. Buffalo has just figured it out since they fired the general manager, and you know, they're like Tage Thompson's been insane. All these guys on the team are playing really, really well. Like, got to give the Sabres full marks. It's not easy to go to Montreal and win with the Canadiens there, and they've been, they're hotter than hell, the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I'm happy for Bills fans that are in Buffalo and stuff. It's a distraction. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Sabres were terrible, then it would really be the big focus on the Bills right now and the misery of all this. Mm-hmm. But people are focused on instead. And there's some wild stuff going on with the Bills coaching search. We'll catch up with that on Monday. But the Buffalo Bills are meeting with Mike McDaniel.
Interesting.
Or at least they wanted to speak. Here it is, Bill's interview. It's pretty, this is like, you know, like I said, I never know. Because people are like, oh, Josh Allen thinks this and that. It's like, yeah, really? You talk to him? Josh doesn't talk to the media much and stuff. So, like, when people are sources close to, I always sort of dismiss it. But the Bills like didn't hide it. And they said, yeah, Josh Allen will be part of the process. Like, yeah, like of hiring a new coach. Like, obviously we're going to get his input. And we're seeing here that Josh likes Mike McDaniel. And that they want to interview Mike McDaniel. I told everybody this. Everyone laughed at him in Miami all the time. And I said, listen, he dresses like a goofball, but NFL people like him. And now you see Josh Allen. Bills to interview Mike McDaniel. Josh Allen significantly involved in the process of that. Wow. Imagine Mike McDaniel. That'd be Bills crazy. Fans will have a heart attack. Like, it'll be great.
He's the anti-Buffalo, but hey, who knows?
Hey, for me, I don't understand. I've given up on it. Whatever. It is what it is. I could just going to be a fan. Whatever happens, happens. But like, I don't understand the Bills. All their candidates basically are offensive guys. Brian Daboll, who I always thought was going to get the job. So he probably still does. But Brian Daboll, offensive guy. Joe Brady's the Bills' offensive coordinator. They like him. He's an offensive guy. Mike McDaniel, offensive guy. Another one that's pretty wild is the Bills are interviewing Philip Rivers.
I know. Like, what?
Right? Offensive guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Pegula and Bean have paid attention, but the Buffalo Bills offense scored 30 points a game every, you know, whatever, dude, for the last 5 years. Like, the offense isn't a problem. I would hire Brian Flores, hard-ass defensive guy. They're not going to do it. I don't know why they don't want Flores, but our boy Jesse Minter, I've kept on talking about Minter. Baltimore hires Jesse Minter. So Minter's a new coach of Baltimore. I want a defensive guy with Buffalo. The offense is fine. Josh Allen can run the offense himself. Who cares? Like, whatever, dude. The offense is fine. Doesn't matter who's running it.
And Flores signed an extension with the Vikings. He's off the table.
Yeah, but he only did because of that, because he didn't get a head coaching job.
Correct.
So, like, that's why he resigned with Minnesota, Cam. That's why he's off the table. Minnesota basically told him, you'll have a job here if you don't get a job somewhere else. So, the thing with Flores is he sued the NFL, and a lot of owners don't like that, right? The thought was that the Rooneys wouldn't mind because of the Rooney rule and all that type of stuff. I would go with Flores if I was the Bills, but they're not going to do it. Like I said, Flores sued the NFL because of the Dolphins and all that type of thing. So I thought the Raiders would be a good fit for Flores as well. All right. Thanks, Cam. Thanks to Cam. Good luck with your Seahawks, Cam.
We'll need it.
Thanks to Rob Vino. For kicking us, check him out over at wagertalk.com. I'll have a bunch of props for you. And we'll be on tonight for the Michigan-Ohio State game. Look for Michigan to show up tonight for real. And I think they'll want to cover against Ohio State.
I agree with you, Gabe. Yeah, they haven't covered in five. And that the thing is, if it's Ohio State, they might want to run up the score. If they're going to break that ATS trend, tonight's probably the night.
Michigan, too, have been pretty good in the first halves of this. Like the other night, they were laying 8.5 in the first half. It was the same point spread against Indiana. They were up by 11 at the half, and they ended up winning the game by 14 only. So I'm gonna hit this in the same way again. Michigan minus 8.5 in the first half. Michigan minus the points in the game, and it'll be right around the point spread. But I think the fact that it is Ohio State, they'll try to not take the pedal off the metal a little bit more than they have been. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. We'll see you online. Other than that, you're on your own later.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.